So it's been really warm in the Twin Cities, and I'm not even going to try to compare it to like how warm it's been in every other place in the country, but it's still been really warm, and we don't have central air. We have a nice window unit, like a sort of a portable window unit downstairs, but it's been pretty warm. And so it's got me thinking about things that are hot, specifically the air. And when you think of hot air, you think of rising. You think of rising into the sky, and that's important. Because this week's book is about, it's about that. It's about rising into the sky. I don't have any other way to introduce this book because it's just, it's about planes. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, Berenstain Bears. I just totally screwed up the intro to the show for like the first time ever. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're taking a look at a bunch of planes. It's just a bunch of planes, maybe a hot air balloon or a helicopter or two, but it's just a bunch of planes. This is one of those weird books that's really hard to talk about because unless I'm going to get into the complete history of flight, and do not worry, I'm not going to do that at all. There's not a whole lot to say about this one, which is fine, unless we really want to talk about the word chopper, because that does come up. Maybe we'll just do that. Maybe I'll spend 20 minutes discussing the different uses for the word chopper. That's what I'll do. So this week's book is The Berenstain Bears Take Off, Hoser. It's a Harper imprint, HarperCollins publisher's book. It's an I Can Read Beginning Level 1 reader by Mike Berenstain, based on characters created by Stan and Jan Berenstain, just in case you didn't know that. The Berenstain Bears Take Off! ! We've got a fantastic cover. It's actually a kind of a cool cover. So this is what I think of as a quintessential Mike book, at least from this era. This era of Mike books were just like, you know what I want to do? I want to draw things. I want to draw technical stuff. I want to show off my ability to draw something to spec. And that is what this book, I mean, the cover alone. We've got the bear family, mama, papa, sister, brother, and little honey sitting on papa's shoulders. They're at an airfield. They're pointing into the sky. And in the sky is a fighter jet. Looks like some kind of B-52 bomber. We've got a biplane, and we've got a Wright Brothers-esque plane. So they're flying all over the place. It looks like it's going to be an exciting book. And I bet if you were a little tiny kid, this is a very exciting book. It's because it's just a litany of airplanes, just a list of things that the bears look at and point. So is there a plot? There's barely a plot. The bears are, I guess, driving by Bear Country Airport. And Brother points out the fact that there is a big air show that day. And it's called Big Air Show. Big Air Show today, the sign says. Now, I do want to say that the bear family is within walking distance of like the hangars of like the air traffic control tower. Like they are in their red roadster, but they are very close to this airport. Like they are right by the gate, because that's where the sign is, Big Air Show today. And that brother is like, hey, look, there's a big air show today. I don't know why they were driving this close to the airport, but I mean, I guess it's lucky. Otherwise, they'd have missed the big air show. So they decide to go to the big air show. Schedules be darned, I guess. Plans can go to heck fire. Mama thinks it'll be fun. Sister's like, let's go. Honey says plane. Zoom, zoom. We got a chatty honey in this book. This is 2017, I think. Is this 2017? Which year is this? 2016. Got a chatty honey. Sort of a newer development in Honey's character. But while they're walking to the air show, there's airplanes flying overhead. And by airplanes, I mean a lot of airplanes. So far in two pages, we've seen 6 planes just flying around within yards of each other. So the first thing they do is they pass a what has to be a replica of the original Wright Brothers plane, which I don't know if you've ever seen it. I don't know if you've seen the footage of it in action. It doesn't fly very high and it doesn't fly very far. And that is exactly what they point out in this book. Sister's like, it doesn't fly very high. And brother's like, it doesn't fly very far. And Papa says, it does fly. And that's true. And I can just imagine being one of those people in, where was it? Where were the Wright Brothers? Somewhere in the Midwest, right? I can imagine being one of the people just being blown away by the fact that this thing flew. Because remember, it only flew like 4 feet. What was it? Like 2 feet off the ground. It flew like a couple of feet and then it like crashed into the ground and burned. Everyone died. Something like that. I don't know the history of flight very well. The only exposure I had to the history of the Wright Brothers, I think I had a Value Tales book on the Wright Brothers. And that's how I knew anything about them. But the fact is, it didn't fly very far. It barely got off the ground, but people were thrilled because it was more than anyone else had done. I think that's what Papa's pointing out. Like, every step is an important step into the development of anything. But, I mean, it's not impressive. You look at it now. First of all, they look backwards because the propellers are in the rear and the tail is at the front. And the Wright brothers just didn't know it. I mean, they knew what they were doing, but they didn't know aesthetically what they were doing. But what's wild is the Wright brothers invent this thing, and within years, just a matter of a few years, they're being used as weapons of war, like, which is amazing. Dangerous weapons of war, and not always to the people on the receiving end of them. To be clear, you had probably as much chance of crashing and burning as you did of anything else. But remember, this is also be the beginning of the heyday of aerial stunts, walking on the wings like people used to do. You get a beautiful young woman out there, and she'll walk on the wings of a plane, no matter what anyone says. And that's exactly what we're going to be seeing in this book. Sister Bear walking on the wing of... I'm kidding. She doesn't. No one walks on the wing of a plane. But they do pass a bunch of replicas of these terribly dangerous-looking planes. We see, like, those box kite-looking planes, keeping in mind that most of them are the backwards-looking ones. And right now, I want to say, I can't describe these things to you very well, because they are very technically specific drawings of bears flying these planes. You're going to have to check this book out yourself, because if nothing else, Mike has shown great love illustrating bears flying these planes. The next page has five more planes. Now, I do want to say there's absolutely no way this air show is legal, because these planes are all within, they're not even within each other's airspace. They are on top of each other. They are dangerously close to each other. We have recently had a tragic accident during an air show, and that is what this is. We are looking at the stewings of a tragic accident, all these planes flying, and they're not flying in formation, they're just flying hither and thither. But they decide to go up, they decide to put themselves in the range of danger. They decide to say, you know what, I don't feel like my life is worth enough. Let's go up in a hot air balloon in the midst of all these planes flying willy-nilly. So they get they commission a flight up in a hot air balloon. Ironically, the oldest form of flight in this air show. You're in that one. If you don't know how a hot air balloon works, you have a bag over a basket. A flame that heats the air in the bag, and the hot air goes up. And what's wild to me is that we figured that out. Like, we obviously figured it out with, like, small balloons and candles. Like, you can still do that. That's how they do, like, the floating lanterns, right? You put a candle in a lantern, and it goes up in the air, because all of a sudden, the air inside the lantern is lighter than the air outside, or goes up, right? That's how it works. It just amazes me that someone was like, I gotta get in one of that. I've gotta get myself up in the... I've gotta get myself as high up in the air as I can possibly get in, like... In within close proximity of an open flame, with a terribly flammable bag is all that's keeping me up in the air. You know what? I don't even know how to control this thing. I'm just going to go up. I'm going to go up, and I'm going to keep going. In fact, the only way to come down is just to let out the air, just to be like, and I'm done. So that would be like if the only way to stop your car would just be to dump the fuel. I'm dumping the fuel now. I'm at grandma's. Kids, hang on. We're dumping the fuel. And you just pull a lever and just the gasoline just pours out of your engine. Like, that's sort of what flying on a hot air balloon is like. And the Bear family has decided to do this, sharing the same airspace as, like, World War I fighter planes, which is what we see here. We see, I don't know what these are, Sopwith Camels, maybe. We see a couple of biplanes with, like, the target designs on them. But we see what looks to be some German planes, courtesy of the Kaiser himself, flying around. I hope they're not going to reenact any of those dog fights, because the Bear family would be eliminated instantly. But we turn the page, and the guide is like, those are some old fighter planes. Yeah, like, no fooling. No fooling, Hat Man, Sunglasses Hat Man, the only guy wearing sunglasses in this book. They were early planes used in war, and Brother's like, that one has two wings. And Sister says, that one has three wings. He sees some biplanes, some triplanes. The guy flying the triplane, by the way, German plane, we got the Kaiser symbol on there. He is not only flying a triplane, he's manning machine guns. This is another invention that just blows me away. The propeller machine gun, the fact that they were like, we need to put guns on our plane. The only place to put them is right behind the propeller. Now, if you shoot the propeller, you die. What are we going to do? Well, we're gonna figure it out so this machine gun fires, like, it's timed so that it fires, like, what, like, between the blades? Is that how it works? Like, how much trial and error, how much faith would you put in this device? How many how many pilots just shot their propellers? I don't understand A, how this worked, and B, how they figured it out, and C, why anybody would agree to test it. This is, it's ridiculous. War is ridiculous, A. It's always a crime. It's always ridiculous. This is a nightmare, right? So you're a civilian down on the ground. There's the Red Baron. There's Snoopy. And they're flying up above you. And you're like, they're just going to fall on me. At this point, they're shooting these massive bullets at each other, probably strafing the ground, right? Like, not every bullet's going to find its mark. These bullets are flying. They're going to land somewhere. Strafing the ground. These planes look like they're made out of crepe paper. They're shooting off their propellers left and right. They're smashing into the ground. We're just trying to, I don't know, live our lives. That one has three wings. Call it a triplane, I guess. Then we see some, wow, says Papa. Those planes are fast. They're all kind of fast. They had to be, said the guide. Yeah, in order to stay in the air. Planes are like the sharks of the air. If they don't keep moving forward, they suffocate and die. They're racing planes. So we see some pontoon boats, and these are like, I'd say 1950s, 1960s style, like little single passenger, open cockpit, sort of art deco-y looking, space age modern looking, like retro futuristic planes. They're all shiny. Mike's put quite the shine on them. They're fast though. They're racing planes, says the guide, and the fastest plane won the race. That's how races work. I dug that he says that. They're racing planes. And the fastest plane won the race. Like, oh, that's how plane races work. I never would have, thank you, guide, for explaining to me how the intricacies of a plane race, you know, in foot races, it works completely differently. Car races, whole other animal. But in plane races, the fastest plane wins the race. Papa has to hold on to his hat. He's so blown away by this factoid. So then we keep moving on. And Brother says, well, those planes are sort of slow. Not all planes need to go fast, says the guide. Some planes are like your family car. They just need to get from here to there. And we see a bunch of Cessnas and little personal planes. A guy with goggles. I don't know why he has goggles on. He's got a windshield. But a guy with goggles flying his plane. Probably just trying to look cool. Bunch of JFK Juniors up there. Dangerous planes, by the way. They are, I just would not feel safe in one. I know the people out there fly them all the time. They're called rich people, and I don't need to know them. These are little personal planes. They're zipping, zooming, zopping around. If you fly in a little personal plane regularly, my condolences, I would be absolutely terrified to be in one of those. It's like, we'll get to it. But when I'm in a giant jet, I'm able to fool myself for a while that I'm not hurtling through the air at hundreds of miles an hour, well above the ground. But if I was in a little plane, you may as well just strap me to a kite. Look at those planes go, says Brother. Well, that doesn't look safe, says Mama. It wasn't, says the guide. Those are war planes. That's how they flew in a big fight. And I guess what they're referring to is, I guess they're having a mock dogfight. Again, these planes are like within 50 yards of one another. Like all through the sky. One of them has like the big, like, it's painted like a big scary face on the front. Question for war experts. Did the scary faces on the planes scare the other planes? Was that the point of it? Were the other planes actually scared when they saw the monster coming at them? Was it like, oh no? Like, were the other pilots like, oh, look out, it's a monster? Or were they just like, we know that that's just a fake face. That's a fake face. It's not a cartoon monster coming after us. I don't know. Answer in the comments. Were the other planes scared of the monster planes? But we see the giant planes, the giant war planes, says the guy. They were called flying forts. And we see these flying fortresses. Maybe an Enola Gay or two coming at us. Oppenheimer, anyone? These are the planes that, you know, they dropped the bombs. They were flying fortresses. They were very loud. You heard them coming. You knew that your village was about to get firebombed for no reason. Under the guise of maybe there was a munitions factory somewhere or something. Probably it's just mostly used for terror at that point. Yes, the flying fortresses. Flying fortresses pretty much done away with, by the way, by the introduction of reliable aircraft carriers. So once you had places to stop and land and refuel and take off from again, like halfway across the ocean, places to restock, places to, you know, for cargo. The giant planes and the battleships started going the way of the dinosaur, and it was the aircraft carriers that we saw more and more of. Flying fortresses, also as like fuel efficiency, yada yada yada, and also like missiles, ground to air missiles and things like that. Like, we stopped needing the flying fortresses. Very inefficient things. by the way. Some planes are just for travel, says the guide. He then gestures up, probably like 100 yards away as a jumbo jet just flying through the air show. I guess they have a jumbo jet, which is wild. Not a whole lot of things a jumbo jet can do at an air show. And this isn't just a jumbo jet. This is a two-level jumbo jet. Like, there's like the windows on top and the windows on the bottom. So this is an enormous jet. This is what I was going to say. Just sometimes I'm on a plane. I'm going to be on a plane in a few weeks. Sometimes I want to on a jet, like flying across the country. And you know how sometimes you're watching The Muppets and you're watching Kermit the Frog or any Muppet, but for some reason for me, it's mostly probably because Kermit the Frog is the most basic Muppet. Like really, literally, like there's not a whole lot of Muppet to Kermit. Sometimes I'm watching Kermit the Frog and I'm suddenly very aware of the hand. Like, you can just sort of see the hand shape all of a sudden, and it takes me completely out of it. And I'm like, that's just a hand. That's just like a guy's hand. I guess it's literally just a hand, and it's just, he's just moving the hand. And I can't, like, stop seeing the hand. That's what it's like sometimes when I'm flying in a jumbo jet, or like a jet, like a plane, like flying to somewhere. I'm suddenly just like, I'm in the air. I'm hurtling through the air at hundreds of miles an hour, tens of thousands of feet above the ground. That's weird, and I can't stop thinking about it, and then I have to, like, dissociate. I just dissociate. I leave my body for a while. That's what I was talking about with the tiny planes. Like, and that you're not supposed, that's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to be, like, being aware you're on the ocean on one of those, like, ridiculously large ocean liners. Like, you're supposed to forget you're on the ocean for a while. What's comforting, though, is that when you hit turbulence, like massive turbulence, and the plane like drops 100 feet or whatever, it's actually safer than being in a road because the air is like the road of the sky and you're just going down over a bump. You're just going over a bump. Think about that next time. You're just going over a bump. Safer than the roads, though. No other cars to get in the way. Unless you're at this air show because there's five jet planes zipping past. We've got a Top Gun jet. We've got an old, like, supersonic jet. We got a rocket plane. We've got a literal stealth bomber. Just flying by. Just zipping and zooming through the sky. Don't know what they're called, but they're there. Shooting around faster than any plane before it. Choop, chow, brow. Highway to the danger zone, baby. And by danger zone, I mean the air around this hot air balloon that the Berenstain Bears are flying in. Zoom, zow, zoop and zowie. Whoosh, says Honey. Whoosh indeed. The next stop is the Goodyear blimp, or the Good Bear blimp, I should say. Because as we know in bear country, you don't say the word year, you say the word bear. It would make more sense if it was the Bear Year blimp. Like, it's because every year is a bear year for the bears. But no, it's the Goodyear blimp. Fun fact, I'm from Spring, Texas, which is not a city. It is a census-designated area just north of the city of Houston. It's not a city. They don't vote for their own mayor. They vote for the mayor of Houston. But it's a census-designated area. And it used to be, so it runs right by Interstate 45. It's kind of one of the borders of Spring, Texas. And Interstate 45, you would drive down, I think, Louetta Road. I think it was Louetta Road. And you'd eventually get to Interstate 45. And right around there was the big, it's totally different now. But right around there was a Lowe's Theater for a while. It's another theater now, but it was a Lowe's Theater. And right across from the Lowe's Theater, and there wasn't always a Lowe's Theater, but there was something else there once upon a time, in Spring, Texas, was the Goodyear blimp hangar, like the official hangar of the official Goodyear blimp. And sometimes if you were lucky, you would drive by and the blimp would be there and you'd see it taking off or landing. It was a pretty cool thing for a kid who lived in Spring, Texas. And then they left. They went somewhere else. And fun fact, the square that the hangar used to be on, like at the concrete slab, still there. And that thing hasn't been there for like 30 years. Slab is still there. They never developed it. It's just like this weird slab of concrete. Just, you can see it on Google Maps. It's there. Look up Spring, Texas former Goodyear blimp hangar, I guess. You'll see the slab. I think there's still a movie theater there. It's not Lowe's anymore, but whatever it is, there's the slab. There's your blimp slab. You turn the page and helicopters everywhere. They fly without wings like that blimp does. The spinning blades keep them up. He doesn't point out that it's not just the spinning blades that keep them up. It's also there's two blades on almost all of them. Yeah, all of them have two blades because you have to have the other blade to stabilize it. Otherwise, it will just whip around and around and then crash. You have that tail. That tail is important. It keeps the helicopter from crashing, from whipping around and around. Spinning blades keep them up. Yes, but the vertical blades keep them stable, Mr. Guide. They make a chopping sound, though, Mama points out. And he says that's why they're called choppers. And then Honey says chop, chop, chop. And let's talk about choppers. I got a pretty good pair of choppers. Choppers are what they call helicopters. It's also a type of propeller, but not a helicopter propeller. A boat propeller called a chopper. I don't know why, but it's called a chopper. Probably because it chops through the water. Chop, chop, chop. Chopper, though, is also a name for a type of motorcycle. A custom motorcycle that emerged in the 1950s. Chopper, you may be familiar with bobbers, probably, which is where you took all the excess weight off of your motorcycle, bobbed motorcycle, and they called them bobbers, or, you know, bob jobs. That's what we called them in the 40s. We called them bob jobs, the sports scout bob job. The choppers, though, came up later, and those were because they'd been modified. They'd been chopped or built from scratch, but chopped. And you may be familiar with the Captain America motorcycle from Easy Rider. That's a chopper, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about modified motorcycle, nor are we talking about boat propellers, nor are we talking about Christopher Hope, the journalist, who's also known as Choppers, or even Mark Reed, the Australian criminal, also known as Chopper. We're certainly not talking about a customized bicycle, which they pretended was the motorcycle. That was called the chopper. That would be ridiculous. Why would we talk about a bicycle? We're also not talking about a British Rail Class 20 diesel electric locomotive known as the chopper. We're not talking about the archaeological tool called the chopper or the electronic switching device called the chopper. We're not talking about the alleged German ghost known as Chopper, or the vocal delivery style of rap called the Chopper style. And we're certainly not talking about Nick Chopper, the Tin Woodman from L. Frank Baum's Oz series, nor are we talking about Chopper the droid from Star Wars Rebels, soon to appear in the live-action Star Wars Ahsoka Tano series. Chopper. Not talking about any of those. We're not talking about Riley Chopper model of bicycles either. There's two kinds of bicycles called choppers. No, we are talking about Tony Chopper, the character from the manga One Piece. No, we're talking about Judge Dredd's character. No, we're talking about the film. No, we're talking about the comics called Chop. No, we're talking about the helicopter Chopper. Chopper word. Well, I thought they were called choppers. Well, now they're called Hueys. It's a joke from Short Circuit that doesn't make sense, really, because Huey is not just a colloquialism for a helicopter. A Huey is like a specific type of helicopter. Joke doesn't make sense. Anyway, they look at a bunch of helicopters. They're moving on. This book just goes on. Some planes are very small, and this is a bunch of gliders. We see hang gliders. We see like bicycle-powered ultralights. You can build an ultralight yourself, says the guide, which I would love to have seen. That would have been a fun thing to write a book about. Brother Bear building an ultralight, powering it with the power of his bear legs. Putt, 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 says Honey. But we do see some pretty cool hang gliders. When I was a kid, the 80s, the late 70s, early 80s were kind of this like pop cultural heyday of hang gliding. A lot of hang gliders appeared in like 1970s and early 80s action television. You would see like the hero suddenly grabbing a hang glider and like going to the rescue. I am sure that our impression of what a hang glider was capable of was very skewed because of 1970s television, but we loved it. We loved those hang gliders. There was nothing they couldn't do. I mean, they couldn't go up. But hang gliders, a lot of fun. I think the Fall Guy rode on a hang glider at one point. And then they land. Thank you for the tour, says Papa. Look, I'm a plane, says Brother. Brother, you're too old to be behaving like that, says Father. I'm kidding, he doesn't say that. And Sister pretends to be a plane, and Honey makes noises with her mouths, and Mama rolls her eyes and says, now we have our own air show. And it doesn't say she rolls her eyes and says, now we have our own air show sarcastically, but she is rolling her eyes. Like, or okay, maybe she's supposed to be looking up at the plane, but it definitely looks like she's rolling her eye as the Cubs, I don't know, vroom off, arms wide open. Arms wide open. And that's the end of I Can Read, Beginning Level Reading 1, Berenstain Bears Take Off by Mike Berenstain. 2016, is this a good book? I mean, there's no story to this book. You know, don't fool yourself into thinking you're going to be like, it's not heart-pounding action. You're not learning anything about the characters. But if you have a little kid who is enamored of things that go, you could do worse. You could do worse than the Berenstain Bears Take Off. So if you want it, check it out. The words aren't too difficult. You could read it out loud to them, be done in a few minutes. If you want a sneak preview of it, there's a ton of videos online of people reading it out loud. Those like I read on YouTube type videos. It's a quick 4-minute read. So check it out. I liked it. I mean, it's cute. It only because Mike Berenstain and his joy of technical drawing. There's just some dynamite Mike illustrations in this one. He loves to draw them planes. He loves machines. He loves planes. He loves animals. It's a Mike Berenstain book. And speaking of loving planes and loving animals, I will be performing at the Minnesota Fringe Festival, checking my watch, and next weekend. Wow. Starting on the 5th, I have 5 performances. Check it out. MinnesotaFringe.org. You can buy tickets there. Secure your place in line. It's getting a little bit of buzz. Just a little bit, but, you know, we're going to do some run-throughs this weekend, fingers crossed, and I was going to say polish the show up. There's no polishing this show because almost the entire thing is improvised. That's right. Each night will be a different show. Audience members, you'll come up on the stage, you'll select the topics I'm going to be discussing, and I'll turn it into something. Just know that there'll be Berenstain Bears involved, so... Hotcha, three-fisted, hot butter Bob. Yep, we're doing it. Lost in Bear Country at the Minnesota Fringe. Check it out. Get your tickets now. I mean, if you live in the area and you want to go to the Minnesota Fringe Festival, also check out a billion other great shows because it's the Fringe Festival and the shows are great. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting me. If you want to support me financially, you can. You can go to the tip jar at the My Minnesota Fringe show page and throw me a dollar or two. I'd appreciate it. Keep the show going. Keep the Fringe show going if you can't attend. I hate asking for things, but you know what? Other podcasts do it. Why not you? So why not me? So thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.